So that. Okay, I'm not sure what the hell is going on. That was. Okay, that was the wrong intro. That was my girl, my sister Cinnamon Brown, with Under the Moonlight, which wasn't supposed to be that. Should have been. Let's do the real intro so I can give my girl her props.
Come on. Come on. Yeah. I see you, baby. Get your shine on. Get your glow up. One time. For the babies on the south side. The east side. The west side. The north side.
Talking show, talking shit theme song. Thanks to my other sister, Story Gabriel. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know there's always some shit that goes on up in here. Anyway, welcome to the show. Today is our spring tea where we'll be pouring, dishing, and spilling all kinds of tea from all aspects, entertainment, politics, whatever, relationship tea. We're just going to talk me and your absolute favorite and mine, my favorite Aries, my favorite co-host, Miss Lisa is in the building, y'all. Give it up for her.
Hey, Miss Lisa. Glad to be here. I love you, Kyrie.
Hey, I love you, too. And some of the people, they be inboxing, like, where's Miss Lisa? Lisa.
How awesome. I
Miss Lisa is busy. Miss Lisa is busy.
Yes.
But, you know. But when she is not busy, she always makes time to come back and help me out with the show, and I love her for that. And I asked her to do it because nobody dishes tea like Miss Lisa. Her and I have a good time. We laugh, we talk, and that's what we're going to do today. So we have a whole lot to talk about today. So, trying to think where we're going to start. What if we could start off, Miss Lisa and I were having a conversation before, you know, the show starts, and she was telling me how she had an opportunity this weekend to go to a Broadway play. Called King Kong. I never heard of it. She just mentioned it. And while she was there, she met Wade Robinson, which is
Robeson.
A choreographer.
Robeson.
Oh, Robeson. I forget. Yeah, he's right. Robeson. So he is a choreographer and also one of the guys who had accused Michael Jackson, who said Michael Jackson allegedly touched him inappropriately when he was a child. And Miss Lisa had the opportunity to meet him. So how was that, Miss Lisa?
Thought he's hot as hell. So it was great. I mean, if, you know, being molested make you look like that, then come molest me. He was hot as hell. But, you know, he was a bit hesitant because, he's been receiving death threats and hate mail and all of this since leaving Neverland. And so I assured him, I always had my doubts, even though Michael Jackson, I mean, I love Michael Jackson, but I always felt something was a bit off. In terms of his incessant need to stay forever young, you know, in his quest to, you know, find his childhood or stay in his childhood or whatever. But after watching the documentary, did you get a chance to watch the documentary at all, Kari?
No, it didn't interest me. Even it has been suggested by several people that I watched it.
Well, I didn't. I chose not to watch the Oprah interview. Because I feel a certain way about Oprah. But I did watch the documentary because I was curious. And again, because I always felt that Michael was on some bullshit. I mean, how long must a man continue to seek out being a kid? Hell, we're only a kid for 13 years. Jews have a bat mitzvah, a bar mitzvah at 13. It, you know, for Christians that follow, you know, the scripture, at 13 you become, you know, a woman, man, whatever. And you go into, you know, your adolescent years and become a fucking man and a or a woman. So my thing about Michael Jackson being forever young and being Peter Pan, I just thought he was, I thought it was code for I want to fuck your son. And, you know, there's a reason why he was surrounded by white boys and not black boys. I mean, he had Emmanuel Lewis on his shoulder carrying him around for like 5 years. But sooner or later, mom and daddy got a clue and told his ass to get down, walk your ass back over here and end this relationship with Michael because it's just inappropriate. You know what I mean? I mean, we just have to call a thing a thing. We would have never, that would have never flew in your household, Kyrie, or in mine.
No.
A grown-ass man in his 40s hanging out with a kid that is not even a teenager. We're talking 8, 9, 10-year-old little kids. I mean, that doesn't make sense. And if that was your Uncle Harold, your mama would have had a problem with that. Like, why are you hanging out with my child, and particularly my son? It's not like he had a thing for it. Like, you're chasing your childhood, but why is it only with little boys? You know what I mean? Why is it just children?
Right.
Like, you know, you build this whole Neverland Ranch for children, but why is your affinity only towards young, extremely young white boys? It's all bullshit. But anyway, having met him, you know, and he still, like you said, you know, he never asked for Michael Jackson's music to be muted. He never felt that, you know, like any of his statues should be removed because he is the king of pop. His talent is what it is, and that can't be taken away from him. But I think it's time for the black community to just say, you know what, dude had a problem. Do I think he was raping kids? I don't want to believe he – personally, I don't think Michael ever had sex, but I think that he did some sexual things. I think that he, you know, touched and fondled and explored from a childlike way with these children, based on the Leaving Neverland documentary. So that's my stance.
Okay, well, I will look at it. I'll look at the documentary. I would not watch Oprah's interview because I believe we had the same thoughts on Oprah, and I can't do it.
Yeah, we do.
Because Oprah to me really like betrayed Michael in this. After she had first, when it first came out, Oprah was, she was dead set against him. Michael did it. Then she went and she met Michael Jackson in person, and she did an interview with him. Then she had a change of heart. Now all of a sudden she's back on. He did it. But she has yet to say anything about Harvey Weinstein. That's a good friend, though.
Who hired her to do to play the ex slave Sophie in the movie Color Purple? Right. So here's the thing. Oprah. Right. I just, you know, my issue, and I used to be a huge fan of Oprah, like huge. And I thought that she was this brilliant person who pulled one over on, you know, white Hollywood, if you will, by playing whatever role she needed to play and then creating her own television station and then promoting more blackness. So I thought, you know, hey, she got the last laugh on this. But, you know, my issue with Oprah is that she is just so Aquarian that it's just impossible to deal with her. Like, she's always right. I've never, like, the situation with Monique, even though I don't necessarily agree with the way Monique has handled it, I do believe that she fucked over Monique. I do believe that she, you know, she just didn't handle that situation right. And I think when it comes to people of color, that she doesn't care to use us as casualties to get the big story. She doesn't care. You know, so that's my issue with Oprah.
Oh, Oprah, poor thing. Well, okay.
Yeah.
So on to that. So let's see. Where are we going to start? Let's see. Something funny. It's so much. Okay, well, we'll start here. So I want to send a congratulatory, just a congratulations to all of the NAACP award winners. There were so many. And
yeah.
The awards, did you see the award?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well.
I do have a question, though. Did Jesse... Did he win?
Okay, now here we go. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. So Jesse was nominated for an award for Best Supporting for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. So on Friday night,
an image.
When they,
an image.
At the image, yeah. An image. So Friday night they had, you know, they were announcing the categories and everything. And I don't know if they announced the winners then or what, but Jussie found out that he was not winning the award, so he opted out to not come to the after ceremony.
Even after
he said he was coming here exclusively just for the award ceremony, he was in Chicago, but he opted not to come to the ceremony. But Taraji won for Best Supporting Actress. She won for Empire.
Awesome.
And also, now, so the President's Award, which is geared towards public service and dedication, went to Jay-Z. He won. And he was actually there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Entertainer of the Year. Now, I was kind of scratching my temple at this because I'm like, she hasn't done anything.
Beyonce?
This year. Or Alexis. Yes. And she was there. Now,
did she win?
Because
she should have won.
She did.
She should have won that award.
She did.
And you have an issue with
her?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, my God. Hold on. Did you say that she didn't deserve to win? Is that what you said?
I said for this, yes, for the Entertainment of the Year. Yes. What has Beyonce done in 2018? What did she do?
Okay.
I'll wait.
What did she do? Okay. And I'll tell you why she deserves to win. First off, her and Jay-Z alone, I think last year and pretty much every year, how they bail out deadbeats, in my opinion, who are in jail on Father's Day. They do that. They do not even make that a big deal. We're not going to even talk about how they give every time, whatever city they're in, they give $100,000 toward education. And, you know, give a scholarship to one of the people that
that's
the concert.
Beautiful.
Number two.
And that's
number three.
Want, and
wait,
that's
hold, I'm not done. And then
take on
legal battles for people that are going through stuff. Like, I'm telling you, at Jay-Z, and, you know, maybe it's Jay-Z, but I want to believe it's Beyonce because I am part of the Beehive and I ride for B. I want to believe it's Beyonce's influence, you know, with the fact that coming out with Formation, all the hate she got for being pro-black and loving herself and all of this stuff that she got when she made Lemonade. I just think that she does so much under the radar, and she don't blast it out for everybody to see, but they're constantly in the black community doing stuff for people that are in trouble legally. That, you know, the whole prison reform. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I'm really heartbroken that you don't believe that Beyonce should win this year. In fact, she should be the top entertainer for the decade because Mama gives back.
Okay. Now, I will say this. That's why Jay-Z won the President's Award, and I think he does deserve it. Yes, he does, because he's out there, and she's with him. But this is the Entertainer of the Year.
But she's their team, right?
So what did she entertain?
Honestly,
what did she entertain the prisoners in 2018? What, I mean, she freed them. Did she entertain them?
She
what did she do?
She entertained me in Orlando when I paid my rent to go see her. So she entertained, baby. She did.
Okay,
she went to South Africa. She entertained in South Africa for Mandela, you know, for his whatever the heck it was. But yeah, I mean, really, Eric, I thought you were going to say Rihanna.
I'm just saying.
Even though I wouldn't have a problem with Rihanna either, because she's given me life with her makeup and her necklace and her, you know, her Fenty Savage. So I ride for Riri too, but I would have given you a pass if it was Rihanna. But B, yeah, they deserve it. And as a couple, they're doing some major shit. Like, they're doing major shit.
Okay,
Eric.
Listen,
I need you to Google and find out all the stuff this woman does that never gets the light of day. Like, she's amazing what she does for the community.
And I agree with you on that. She is amazing. She's an amazing human being. That's the humanitarian. We said entertainer. We're in entertainment. I agree with you.
Who else is entertaining? Oh my God. Who should have won then? Who should have won, Kyrie? Ella May should have won. Should Ella May have won? Who should have won?
I didn't say that.
Lee Andrew should have won. Should she have won?
She should have.
Who?
Let's see. I'm just lying.
Yeah, you sure are lying. Who should have won that would have been pleasing to you?
I'm trying to find the nominations and winners. Because it was a, oh, I know.
Okay, please.
But you're so funny. But, well, what, let me see.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, yeah, here we go. So, Beyonce is up against, for Entertainer of the Year. You are so funny to me, Ms. Lisa. So, she's, it was Chadwick Boseman, Regina King, LeBron
hold
James.
On. Okay, hold on. Hold on. And we're talking about Entertainer of the Year, right? So, just because
yes.
Chadwick was in Black Panther, which he's done other bodies of work, and I think he's amazing. I love him. I think he's a hot dude. But Entertainer of the Year, nope, not Chadwick. Next.
Okay, Ryan Coogler. I don't even know who the fuck that is.
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, next. Regina King.
Well, okay.
Regina
okay.
King.
Now. Okay, okay, okay.
And I will give it up to her.
Before we go on to the next person, I do have to pause because I've been rolling with Regina since 2007.
Me too. And apparently so has Beyonce because Beyonce thanked her in her acceptance speech. And
because she's nice in that way. She did. She's very sweet.
So, we're going to pretend Beyonce is not shady at times, but okay. But maybe that's just towards Michelle. I don't know.
And understandably so, because Michelle should be thanking Beyonce every morning she wakes up. She should wake up and go, thank you, God, and Beyonce. That's what Michelle should do every damn day. Oh, thank you, God, and you too, Beyonce. Because Beyonce made her matter. But go on.
And the last one was LeBron James.
That's a no. Okay. But
I'll give you that.
Regina
I'll
King,
give this. I'll give this list. I'll give this list, yeah.
Well, Regina Beyonce. King would be the only one, in my opinion, because Regina King has, I mean, the sister just keeps working. I mean, there's been a recession everywhere except for in her household. That woman has been working in Hollywood consistently. And, yeah, so.
That is true.
Yeah. I mean, so.
It's true.
And Taraji's hot. I mean, I can't.
That's Taraji, right.
Did you say Taraji was in there as well? Right?
Yeah.
So,
no,
I mean,
no,
I think Taraji is getting most.
No, Taraji is more.
She wasn't?
She was more for African
okay.
acting. No, she wasn't.
Okay. So with this list, I do take a pause, you know, because of the respect that I have for Regina King and how long she's been in the industry. So maybe if she would have won it over Beyonce, I wouldn't have been pissed. But being that Beyonce
mm-hmm.
won, I understand.
Well, I thought it should have been, out of this list, it should have been Regina. To me, it should have been Regina. Because Regina has been, like you said, working consistently. And Regina worked her
yeah.
ass off last year. She did, if Bill Street could talk, she did 7 seconds. And
she
also directed a lot of TV television shows.
She sure has. She sure has.
And
you know,
not to Beyonce doesn't do anything.
Beyonce did
entertainment.
First off,
entertainment.
She did a hell of a lot. She entertained. She did a world tour. The Carters went on tour. They released
a whole
$1,000
ticket. You're right. Oh, I'm
well,
now you said that.
We were entertained. We were entertained.
Yes. For $1,000.
But I'm just
saying. You should have been.
Yeah.
You should have been.
I mean,
okay. And
but
Curry,
she's so worth it. I can't even complain about that.
Now, Jesse Smollett, he was nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actor, but he opted, like I said, he opted
mm-hmm.
not to show up. That, to me, that shows the sign of a sure loser. But Anthony Anderson
mm-hmm.
won, and he was the host of the show. Tracy Ellis Ross,
okay.
Blackish. But she was up against Issa Rae and Yahara Shahidi, am I saying that right? From Grownish?
Yeah,
her daughter
Yahara Shahidi. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tracy, well, I thought Issa should have won, in my opinion. Marcus Goodman for Blackish.
I agree with you
last.
On that one.
Yeah, Blackish cleaned up last night.
Well,
Blackish
is important. I love it.
It is.
One of my favorite shows.
It is. But Marseille Martin won. Now, this little girl, she's taking over. She won for Blackish. She won for Outstanding Actress, Outstanding Supporting Actress, and she won for a role for you. So she just won 2 Emmy Awards last night, which is good.
All right.
Now Ryan Coogler is he was one of the writers for Black Panther. That's why he was nominated. Okay.
Okay. amazing. Black Panther was amazing. I mean, but does Chadwick deserve an award for playing, you know, Black Panther? I don't know. I think the collective made Black Panther what it was. There was nothing in his delivery that made him out, you know, outstanding. Now, I'm going to tell you, Michael B. Jordan,
now
he should have won simply because he's fine as fuck, period. When I tell you that brother brought it on that show, I mean, him standing up against Chadwick, I mean, he disappeared.
He won,
Chadwick
both,
disappeared.
Actually, both of them won, though.
Oh, really?
Last.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like him a lot.
But I kind of feel, you know, I agree with you 10,000%, but sometimes I kind of feel bad because I liked Michael B. Jordan as an actor when he was Wallace on The Wire. That's the very first time we saw him. And he was just a little boy. But he grew up. Baby, did he grow up.
Oh, he grew up. Oh, my God.
Him? I feel bad when I talk about him and Diggy Simmons.
I don't. I mean, because now is I don't. And maybe, you know what? It's probably inappropriate that I look at, what's his name, Diggy, the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Blackest now, too. And seeing him grow up on the family show, right. And you're like, oh, Diggy, you can get it. And he's legal. So it's not like we're R-Kellying anything here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You can get it, Sal. Diggy Simmons can have it. He can have all my world possessions. That's how I feel.
Oh, he's just he's so good looking.
He is. And then we had, okay, this is where Jussie lost. Jussie lost against Jesse Williams for Grey's Anatomy. And I think
I can understand. Yeah.
Okay.
That
now, Lynn Whitfield because he didn't show. Lynn Whitfield won for Greenleaf. And Justin was at the dinner on Friday night, but he didn't come to the award ceremony. So he came to eat, but he didn't come to congratulate the people.
You know what?
Then for,
I don't know if it was less about him. He should be embarrassed, though. Can we just be honest and just talk about the pink elephant in the room? Because, you know, and he pulled a very white privilege situation here with what happened in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad at it, you know, considering you have a bunch of white men that kill black people and get off all the time. So I'm not upset that, you know, Jussie walked. I am upset, however, that he thinks that he can say that he was totally exonerated when everything is sealed. That's bullshit.
Right. No. Right. It is. And so you also have, now Power won for Outstanding Dramatic Series. I totally disagree with that. They beat out Queen Sugar. Outstanding Drama Series.
For what? They have it or have not?
No, Power won for Outstanding Drama Series.
Oh, you said
and
Power. I thought you said
oh,
Tyler Perry for the half.
You a mess.
Oh, because I was getting ready to join you. Well, you thought.
Well, he was up against that. Okay,
I love the
half
and
a
half, but the writing is horrible.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to
tell you something. You know, I don't
well,
know.
Okay, you tell me who should have won. Power.
When I was in the Power, I think Power by leaps and bounds is better than Empire. I'm just being honest.
Wow.
Power is amazing. And I pulled away from both of them because I didn't like what Moose did, you know, with Tasha and all this kind of stuff. So I had to back up because I got pissed off. And so what I do to punish people is not watch their show. But I'm going to get back into it because now there's been some reconciliation and I can move on. But Power for me is much better than
Empire. Okay,
if you take a survey, I think others will agree with me. It is amazing.
But Empire sucks now. But when I first watched Power, tried to get into it, everybody kept telling me to get into it. I tried, and I will say I've seen better gospel stage plays. But that was my opinion.
Empire?
Yeah.
But you felt some
like
of the streaming on Empire? Empire.
I'm a star. I like Star. But anyway, this list right here. Okay, you tell who should have won. Power, This Is Us, How to Get Away with Murder, or Queen Sugar?
This Is Us, hands down. This Is Us, another show I had to back. Right, This Is Us should have won. hands down. And I pulled away from This Is Us too because I don't like crying every fucking episode. I don't. I shouldn't cry every time. They just went for the juggler every fucking
they
week. Yeah.
They lightened up. But they lighten it up.
Well, yeah, and then I'll watch it, and then yeah. But it's amazingly written. I you know, the emotions, everything. I just thought it was amazing, and it should have won over everything
and then
else
you have,
mentioned.
Yeah, perfect. And then you have baby for outstanding series, special series. I disagree with this or whatever. The Bobby Brown story.
Against what? They just named that as the outstanding.
Baby, it beat out. It beat out 7 seconds.
Oh please! I think you know. I think maybe they're trying to encourage Bobby to be better. You know?
Okay, we'll go with that.
Because it wasn't to me. It just wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I'll ride with that. Well, like Regina King, she did win for 7 seconds.
Okay.
Now here's where we got problem. Now, Amari Hardwick won for Power, but what he did, you have to see the video. It's the talk of the internet right now. When he won, he stood up and he hugged, and she was saying congratulations because they were standing up there. But then he hugged, and then obviously he tried to kiss Beyonce, and she looked so uncomfortable. Like, why did you do that?
What?
You got to it's the talk of the internet right now. You
got
to see it. Yeah.
I will be Googling that. So why did he feel the need? Because Beyonce, did she announce the winner?
No, she was at her seat sitting next to Jay-Z. And she stood up and clapped with everybody else. They clapped for him. And so he hugged her. And then he pulled her in and kissed her. I'm like, dude, what y'all doing? I don't know. But you have to see it's the look on her face after he does it.
Right.
Because she's like.
I'm sure. I gotta Google that. That is too funny.
And I'm like, what the fuck is you doing? I'm like, well, I guess. Then you have who else won? Oprah Winfrey presents Michelle Obama. That won for Outstanding Talk Series. She beat out The Red Table Talk, The View, and Trevor Noah. Now, Y'all Fix My Life won for Outstanding Reality Program. She beat out. Now, we got a shock to this nomination. RuPaul's Drag Race and Lip Sync Battle. I was shocked that RuPaul even got nominated.
Well, thank goodness they're growing up. Because, first off,
yeah.
RuPaul will let you have it, baby. That dance for your life is everything. Sing for your life is everything, I'm sorry. But can we talk about Iyanla for a second?
Yes, we can. We really can.
I need Iyanla to lay on someone's couch. There's something wrong with her. You know, She does this cackle in the midst of her as she goes, you know, she's healing, helping them to heal, giving them the tools so they can heal. And she does this in the midst of her therapy that drives me nuts. And then the fact that I believe she has false teeth. That are, you know, kind of come out in a 3D kind of way in some angles. I think some of her therapy may work for certain people, but a lot of it, Kyrie, just don't reach the masses. Her approach is a bit unorthodox. And I mean, one episode in particular that I thought she was all wrong. Was with this, there was a family, it was a two-part, is siblings who had been molested by a foster family or parents or whatever, and then forced to have an engaged sex with each other, okay? Very sensitive, very sad. And she kept bringing up things that they were forced to do to each other to eat. Like, in order to, you know, eat dinner, you had to have sex with your brother, or the brother had to have sex with the other brother, or whatever. And she kept bringing this up and forcing them to deal. And, I mean, I get that they were there to kind of be able to work through their issue concerning what they've been through, but it just came across really insensitive. You know, so I don't know. I watch her so I can complain about the bullshit she does, but that particular episode kind of, it left me a bit raw because it was very emotional with those, you know, the young people having gone through what they went through. And the way in which she I don't know. I don't know if they walked away better or not, you know, in the 2 days that they were with her or whatever, however long they were with her. But I just didn't like her approach with them. I thought it was handled incredibly incorrectly.
Okay. I didn't see the episode. I need to check that out.
Yeah,
I need to check for that one. But she, now, speaking of Iyama, so did you see the two-parter with her and Leandra Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this guy has a show named Larry Reed. It's his show. It's the T. It's the T. So he had Robert on the show, and Robert was saying how it was all fixed, it was all rigged, and he tried to turn it around to make it seem like the show was created to make him look like the enemy and make him look bad. So then,
I kind of agree. Is this the road manager, the one that's been her friend for like 9 years or whatever?
Yeah.
That she wanted her to fire? I felt that Iyama had overstepped her boundaries. Now, I think that if anybody should have come to that realization, it should have been Leandria. My thought, to me, I just felt like a star, you know, if we're going to consider Leandria to be a star, and I think, you know,
uh-huh.
She's super talented. I don't know if she is a star, but whatever. But if you are a road manager, personal assistant, famous person, you're there to do what they want you to do. He can't force her to do anything she doesn't want him to do. And so just simply by the fact that he is on her payroll makes him a paid enabler, period. And they became friends through the course of his relationship with her in that role of employee. I just felt like Iyama really just, you know, again, I just felt she overstepped her boundaries.
Okay.
Leandria should have been the one who came to that realization if she needed to fire him. And then to just scream out, fire him, or then want him to fire her. And I mean, is it, you know, that's the bullshit I'm talking about.
I mean,
I think she's a little loopy.
Okay, now on this show, I'm going to have to send you this show because I did take this burden on Facebook. I posted on my Facebook page. The unexpected happened. They Miss Iyama called into the show. Miss Iyama called into the show.
Oh.
And so she said, she says, well, back it up. She said, first, she addressed each thing that Robert said. She said, first of all, she said, my show is not scripted. She said, there's no script. She said, we go off. Everything is just done right there. She said, and you and I, she said, well, you sat here and told this man that you and I talked. She said, you and I never had a conversation off the camera. Everything that we said was on camera. Am I correct? But then he flipped and said, I didn't say that. I said this. He was trying to get out of it. He was trying to backtrack. She's like, no, she had her shit together. And then she said, I am a licensed spiritual because the host, Larry, was asking her about her credentials. She said, I'm a licensed life coach. She said, I have my degree, and she named where she got a degree from. Unlike Juanita Bynum, which we're going to get into a little bit later. So she said where she got degrees from and everything. So then he was like, well, about him being a Christian, and he's like, well, you know, because you practice Yoruba religion. She said, that has nothing to do with it. She said, I never bring anything from Africa in my teachings. She said, I am led of God, or whatever. She said, I never bring any of that into the show. She's on anybody. She said, I do.
She
I
doesn't.
Do
I will
coaching.
Agree. She does not.
Right. She does. She said, I do life coaching. Mm-hmm. She said, that's what I do. And she told Robert, she said, well, I thought the show was about Leandria. You came on as a supporting role to support her. Baby, I was cracking up. I said, ooh, okay. But
okay, did you watch the two part?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that they're trying to, her team, quote unquote, is trying to cover her up. Well, Robert's trying to cover her up because she distinctly said, I do not want to sing or preach gospel. That was it. I don't know if they edited anything or whatever, but that's what the woman said. And I've always thought that about her. Like, I didn't think she wanted to do that. Ever since I saw her on, it was some show she was on BT, and she sang a duet with Tyrese. I said, of course she killed. Because Leandra Johnson is a killer. So he was like, well, that ain't what she doesn't mean that she doesn't want to sing gospel. She doesn't mean she's just tired of singing. And that's like the alcohol talking. I'm like, motherfucker bullshit. She don't want to do
well,
it. Damn.
Okay. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because this is going to go to an area you and I have already been to, and we'll just say it for our listeners. I think LeAndrea needs to stick with what loves her, and what seems to love her is gospel. And, I mean, and she may not want to sing it, but I'm going to tell you the requirement for singing R&B or pop, whatever the hell we got, you know, whatever it is that Beyonce sings and Rihanna sings, I think it's probably pop. I don't know if R&B is still alive at this point. But she don't want to come over to that arena. She doesn't. Because it's not about you killing it. And I do believe she does. I think she's a great singer. But it takes more than that to appeal to the populace. And she doesn't have that it factor. Her singing conjures up a level of emotion that is perfect for gospel music. It's not going to get her paid in R&B. I'm just being honest. She doesn't have the look, the body, the image, and, you know, yeah. I think she needs to stick with what loves her, and what loves her is gospel.
Okay. Now, I'll give you that. Well, yeah, but she can sing R&B. Now, I'm thinking, see, I'm a traditional R&B type of cat. I know you're talking about this contemporary bullshit where you don't even have to sing on key to sing this bullshit. But thank God we have people like her who does. But this new R&B, no, no. But LeAndrea could be, she can hang with the likes of like Layla Hathaway, Lettucey, and them people.
Listen, Lettucey, in my opinion, Layla's in the class all of her own, so I won't even speak to that because I think she's an artist. But Lettucey, who, in my opinion, and thank you for introducing her to me, even when I didn't recognize the talent she was, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't a believer in Lettucey until you came to visit me in Atlanta, and we went to her concert, and I think I bought her entire catalog at that point, sitting in my seat at the concert.
You did.
But let's just say, this woman is a beast vocally. Like, I live for Lettucey. Like, and it hurts my heart that the world don't get how amazing she fucking is. Now, conversely, I think that LeAndrea is a decent singer. I'm not going to put on the same level even with Lettucey, but she emotes the same level of emotion, right? But Lettucey touches me. I love a soprano, so that's why, you know. But LeAndrea is a great singer. You know, some of her music has really touched my soul. But if Lettucey can't make it, I don't know if there's hope for LeAndrea. And the reason I say that, again, because it is it's very competitive. And it's competitive for the wrong reasons. Is Beyonce the best singer? No, she's not. But Beyonce is a complete package in that she has a universal look. You know, she always performs in a onesie, and I think that's required of all R&B singers as of 2019. and she, you know, she has a story behind her. She has a following. And I think that LeAndrea, if she's not careful, she's pretty much killed the traditional church following she had because she's pretty much, you know, offended everyone that loves Christ solely. And, you know, to try to venture over here, if you can't hang in gospel music, baby, you may not be able to hang in R&B is what I'm saying. It's a whole different level of competitiveness. And I don't know if she's ready to perform in onesies. I don't know if she's ready to twerk. I don't know if she's ready to do that. And that's a requirement. Nobody is standing flat-footed and singing like Whitney Houston anymore. No one.
Well, I don't know if she's ready. I think she is ready to twerk. But an R&B, she can come on R&B and give a rant and drink a smoke. She can smoke a blunt.
We don't care.
I'm sure
we'll
does.
Get you. But, baby, you got to let us have it. And I don't know if she's – Listen, I'm just going to stop being delicate about this. I think she doesn't have the look, period. I think LeAndrea looks like a puffy alcoholic, like a blowfish, if you will. Her jaws and everything is very, you know, inflamed because of her alcohol intake. And I think she's going to have to kind of drain from that for a bit, get a really serious workout regimen going on, pick out some onesie. Good, listen. She's just not going to make it. And she's too old. What? She got four kids. Like, as much as she has four kids, Beyonce cannot have another. The fact that she had those twins, I thought it was going to spell the end of her career. I was holding my heart. I was praying, fasting, that she continued to be the pop star that she is. Luckily, she was able to pull it off. I'm telling you, Leandria is not going to be able to do it. What does she have, like seven children? She's not going to do it. We're not going to have an R&B star with seven children. It's just not going to happen.
She
needs to stay. Whatever. Okay.
Five, four.
We don't. You're not going to get in the game with four kids and then think you're going to come and rule R&B. Stay your ass in gospel music. Suck it up, Francis, and make it happen. That's it.
Well,
we don't want her.
Okay.
You just can't come over here and sell yourself, whatever, because you can sing a gospel song. So, and she's no Shirley Murdoch. Okay, that's what I'm saying. She's not going to just dibble and dabble and run back and forth in between the genres. No.
Aretha
you will stay with gospel music.
Aretha
was the queen. Aretha was the fucking queen of soul.
Okay.
And she's not, she was. So we have to give respect to Mama for being that. Leandria is not bad. Leandria, I mean.
But she can sing.
It's not about her singing. Listen, if this was, Kyrie, if we were in 1950, 1960, hell, 1970s, and she was singing for Motown, looking the way she looked today, that would fly because they didn't give a shit. You could be ugly as fuck as long as you could sing. You know, we don't.
I don't think
there's
she's
no
ugly. I just think
she's her.
I don't think she's ugly, but she just. Oh my god, that's the problem. Now my sister Steen Lottie just texted me and says the industry is looking for image, not listening for vocals or correct key or pitch. Which to me is a goddamn shame because it's called music industry, not fashion. Okay, well, you're not your passion about
it. Listen, Kyrie, you and I had this conversation back in 2004 when my beloved Rihanna came out with my favorite song, and I forget the damn name of it, but it was like Faithful or something. And I just,
Unfaithful.
Every time I heard the song, Unfaithful, I weeped every time she sang it. It was my ringtone in which you refused to call me. Okay, and you're like, Lisa, the girl can't sing. She ain't gonna make it. I'm like, baby, this girl is gonna make it. She's gonna make it. And here we are today. So, what I'm saying to you is this: this isn't Motown, this isn't Circa 1970. She is not the package. She's not it. Singing is not the only thing that's going to kick the door in. Listen, there's a lot of chicks in, you know, in churches that can sing. It's about marketing. Sell that on to other people. And what I saw when I saw Leandria on Iyanla's show was an alcoholic who was inflamed, like she was swollen, like her face and everything, very puffy, or, you know, maybe she's not using the right moisturizer. I'm not sure. Either way, she is not going to be an R&B star. It's not going to happen. She can sing with Kyrie, she can Tyrae, whomever. It's not going to change. It's a no for me, dog. It's a no.
Okay. Well, the answer, you get a big fat yes for me. I welcome you to R&B. I love this singing. You, I don't give a damn. See, I don't care what people look like. You can look like whatever. But if you can sing, you got it.
I don't care what people are like, to be quiet. Listen, I really don't care what people look like. I'm saying she's not going to translate. She's not going to be able to transfer her talent to R&B and be received in the way that she was on a gospel level. And listen, the game is changing. She won't. Listen, if she's not wearing a onesie, no one can come today the way the time. Well, we may not even have another Whitney in our lifetime, but standing flat-footed and singing and scowling and all the stuff that Leandra does, leaving her lungs on the stage when she's done, all that kind of Jennifer Holliday type singing, we don't want that shit in R&B. And if you're going to do it, bitch, you need to do it in a onesie and twerk and pop and lock to sell it.
Well, I want it. Okay, well, since we're here at the church, well, I'm going to stay here with Leandra. So, in encouraging Leandra, so, yeah, Kim Burrell, this miserable bitch. So she says, Leandra, you can do it. You know, we're rooting for you. And Hollywood knew anything. Instead of having Fantasia, they need somebody like Leandra Johnson who can really sing, who has real talent to portray Aretha Franklin. So in saying that, and, of course, Fantasia fans have been letting Kim Burrell have it ever since.
That's good.
But now,
because that was wrong. But wasn't that a slip up? Didn't she mean J. Hud?
And that's what I'm saying. In my honest opinion, I really believe she needs Jennifer Hudson, because Jennifer Hudson is the one who was slated to play Aretha Franklin. Now, Aretha herself did say she wanted either or, Fantasia or Jennifer Hudson. She didn't, you know, between the two, because she loved both of them girls. Mm-hmm. And but why would you say Fantasia don't have talent? Even LeAndre Johnson loves Fantasia. So
I really do think it was a slip. I think it was a slip. But if she would have said Jay Hud, I don't think Jay Hud is not talented. I think she's mean as fuck. And sadly for her, you know, she has a nice voice. It just, again, she's another example of something that didn't translate well in R&B. They just couldn't find the right song for her because her voice is so big. Yeah, bullshit on that, Kim Burrell. Fantasia is everybody's little cousin. Like, all root for Fantasia. Even when she's wrong, mm-hmm. when she was sleeping with that woman's husband in South Carolina, I was still rooting for Fantasia. Because that's my little cousin. She makes mistakes. Right.
Okay. Me too.
You know, and I thought she got played, you know, because she didn't have a DD. She wasn't really smart. And I thought together as a couple, the husband and wife played Fantasia. But, you know, she seems to be doing better.
But you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She didn't have a GED. She wasn't smart, and they got over on her.
They did get over on her.
They didn't get no money from her, so they didn't win.
Right.
He
backed
with her
a lot to keep them from winning. Right. She had to pay a lot of her money. But, you know, the thing is, Fantasia to me is amazing. I've seen her live. I love her. I'm not necessarily one of these people that love the hardened kind of singing with all the scowling and the, you know, your tongue rolling around I don't like all that. But I like it from Fantasia because I believe it. I think it's authentic. And she gives so much of herself. And, again, she's like your little cousin that made it. So how can you not love her? So I'm always rooting for her.
Hey, man. And Kim Burrell is just so bitter and angry. But anyway, I want to ask you about this because this is one of your friends. So Charles Jenkins is retiring from pastoring. What's that about? Is that laugh? Yes.
Is it because of this little picture?
I don't know. But he is retired at the end of 2019. He's retired and leaving fellowship, and he already has his successor, the guy that's taking his place. I'm like, you're retiring? What? Man, how old are you?
Are we going to say that's code for he was kicked the fuck out? Isn't that what that is? He never recovered from the whole sex scandal. He never recovered from it. And you know what? And when we think about it, okay, and just so the viewers, the listeners can get a little background, Charles Jenkins and I go way back when he was a junior pastor. He was, and when I was, you know, when I was a Baptist, I guess I should say, he was my junior pastor, and he was full of shit even then. So anyway, fast forward, he becomes this big deal in Chicago. See him and dude just completely shaded me, like he didn't know me. And blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
completely saved me. And so, of course, a couple years after that, then, of course, it was revealed that he was having this whole scandal with his little friend. And not the little friend he was having a scandal with, but him and his little friend that was caught on camera was, you know, caught cheating. So I think maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, he's afraid to come out because he didn't know who was standing there, you know, or whatever. It was just really weird to me. But I think he was pushed out. I don't think he ever successfully recovered from that situation. And, he was asked to leave. He lost a lot of members from what I heard as a result, too.
Ooh. So that's why, he is out. Because he announced some man named Reginald Sharp Jr. is going to take his place in the beginning of 2020. And he's planning to pass a book. And just releasing new music. He's releasing new music and going to do a book. Now, he performed this weekend at the Stellar Awards. And what cracked me up is, now, he did this performance. He had on this wig. It was a finger wave wig. And they were like, portraying they were back in like the Harlem Renaissance era. And he did this big production. Oh. I said, well, now, when Tone did it, they talked about him. And
Right.
Well, but now all of a sudden, everybody just up with it, I guess. Maybe Tone was before his time, which is what I've always said about him.
Well, he's always been before his time, but you couldn't, you know, the fact that he was blacklisted is disgusting because he was and still is an amazing fucking talent. So,
yes,
yeah.
I agree. I agree totally. So anyway, the iron still keeping the church, hallelujah, the good Christian. So now,
hallelujah.
Why did the Byron, this dude named DeMario Jive, a.k.a. King Jive, his YouTube channel is so damn funny. So he used to be he was a member of her team or something. Anyway, he exposes her and talks about how the schools that she has listed, unlike the Yama, you can't, when you Google them, they don't come up. There's no such addresses for anything. And this all came about because she went on the internet and she was asking her followers tell them that she needs $200,000 for a special prayer room to be built onto her home. What happens to praying in the living room or the dining room table or your bedroom? And what kind of prayer room is this for $200,000? What comes in that? I don't understand.
No more sheets? I don't know what the hell come in that. But let me tell you. Listen, Juanita was a scam when she was hot under the whole T.D. Jakes, whom I love still. But she was a scam artist even back then when she talked about her life as a flight attendant and how she left a breast in Texas, her legs over here, vagina over there, and so on and so forth. She never, you know, then she started, you know, blowing in the horns and stuff. You remember all that? And yelling at people and whatnot. I'm like, who is she talking to? Why do I feel like I'm being scolded every time I listen to her preach? She's a joke. She's a joke. She always has been, when she made this big production of marrying her husband because God told her that was her husband and being divorced later. I'm like, God has never been a liar. So why are you divorcing him? Like, she is just a joke. She's a joke.
Yeah, I was just looking at $200,000 for a room. That's a whole house. That's the price, especially in Atlanta, Georgia.
That woman, she's asking those people to pay back that second mortgage she took out on the house. Truth told. I mean, come on, girl, stop.
Because in Atlanta, Georgia, $200,000, that could be a damn mansion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was like, oh, my God, but yeah. Baby, he put that out there, and to me, it was funny. It was very funny to me. Oh, and my pastor, the cussing pastor, as y'all know, I love the cussing pastor. He went on a rant cussing out Evelyn Braxton and Desmond Bling.
Okay, I saw that. I didn't get a chance to read up on it, though. So what's going on with that?
So Evelyn Braxton and Desmond Bling were on this radio talk show, this gospel radio show. And so Desmond Bling is going in and saying, you know what, a man of God, he acts like this, blah, blah, blah. So then the host of the show asked both of them, well, what do you all think about Thaddeus Matthews, the cussing pastor? Desmond Bling had never heard of him. She had never heard of him. She's
okay.
Like, who is that? He's a cussing pastor. You know, she's like, cussing pastor? She's like, what? And so Evelyn Braxton chimed in. She said, yes. She said, he's on there. And so she just went in about how, she didn't say nothing about him. She just said, nothing derogatory. She just said, he's this man that comes on, and he cusses everywhere he goes. She said he's cussing, people out, he just cusses in normal conversation. And she said,
right.
I don't understand how you can call yourself a true man of God. And you do it. She said, because what you're doing is you're steering people away. And she was talking like, you know, normal Christian.
That's not true.
You're
bringing me closer to the church. He's
Listen,
bringing me closer to God.
Now, that's what I said. Now, me, I would join his church. I could be
I sure would.
Myself. So. He got it, so he saw the video caught me, and maybe he told Evelyn Braxton that she was the reason why her daughters are so damn fucked up and bitter. And
oh,
I
love
it. He didn't really say too much about Maybelline, but he went in on Evelyn, though. Went in. Why don't you go in
and
on
you know what?
Braxton?
And I agree with him. Now, that's one of the, and I do give Iyanla a hard time, but I will say this. I did agree with her when she said that Evelyn is the reason why her daughters are in the shape that they are in. None of them have had successful relationships.
Well,
and it's because of their rearing.
Well, mm-hmm. Tracy's still married. Tracy is still married.
Well, is Tracy really even a Braxton?
She looks just like her. You a fool.
And maybe I should have just changed that and said the Braxtons that matter. No, I tease. I do like Tracy. I think she's probably one of the realest of the sisters, or the realest, to be quite honest.
I like Tracy.
I don't like Trina. I don't like the way Trina mouth and her lips, and the fact that she can't say a bolt. She says it like she's from Canada. And I think that's all bullshit with her too, but I do like Tracy. I do like Tawanda. I used to like Tamar. I think Tamar has seen too much here lately. And I think
lately.
I think I used to live for her antics. Now I'm just tired, you know. But because it's never ending. Like now I think sis is bipolar. Like I think there's something there, you know.
Well, Yama said that.
Yeah, I think it's something there, you know, just, and it's more than just being spoiled. I mean, you grew up an only kid, you were spoiled, I was, you know, doused with a lot of attention growing up, grew up with a healthy level of self-esteem, blah, 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 and, you know, I'm not annoying like that. I think it's something going on with Tamar that forces her to be the center of attention or want to be the center of attention and to, you know, just, you know, just so much. It's so much that she does. I think that she used gay vernacular way too much. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's, you know, any compliment to the gay community, some of the slang she overuses. You know, I just
so
am kind of, yeah, it's just too much. It seems too much now.
I get tired of it. But speaking of the Braxtons, well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Toni Braxton for her she won for Best Traditional R&B Song, Long As I Live, which, by the way, if you all did not go to the Long As I Live tour with Toni Braxton and SWV, shout out to my sister Coco. What's up, Coco?
Hey, Coco.
So, right. If y'all missed it, y'all missed a hell of a tour. Y'all missed it. That show was, oh, my God, that show was good. And Babyface came to the one in L.A. I didn't want to see him, but he did a great job.
Yeah, I had the honor of seeing him too at Essence Festival, and he sang his songs and he sang all the songs he wrote. He's pretty entertaining. He's a classic guy.
So. Yeah. He was good. He was really good. I was like, okay. And okay. Now here we go. Now we got the tea. Now we're gonna get into the tea. Speaking of the Braxton, well. Yeah, and Tamar. So Tamar's ex-husband, Vincent Herbert, is having financial woes. How you get all this money? Yeah, financial woes. So whatever. He owes $65,138.02 to a leasing company named Manhattan Leasing Entertainment Enterprises. I'm sorry, for a 2016 Rolls Royce, baby. They, in turn, contacted ASCAP just to see how much money they could get from him, from his writing credit, because he refused to pay them. Now, this man has songs with Toni Braxton, Lady Gaga, Destiny's Child, Bryson Tiller, JoJo, and the list just people. How do you do that? Hmm. Here's the catch, though. Now, if Tamar doesn't be careful, they could come after her because she's still legally his wife. She filed for divorce in 2017, but they still haven't had it finalized. Why do black people do that? Black people will hold on to divorce forever without signing the papers.
Until they make a big purchase, and then they got to get your ass off them, baby. That's what my auntie did. She was married for 35 years, and she decided to buy a new house. Oh, I got to get a divorce. Really, auntie? Really now? You guys have been, like, living separately for 20 years.
Right.
Stupid.
No, what is the problem? Why you just can't get a divorce? But, So he owes his money. But I'm like, wow, when did you get financial woes? That's like wow to me.
But they always have them though. But they always have those financial issues, though. I mean, yeah, I think it was like a big write-up about them. He owes like X amount of millions of dollars in back taxes at one time. So this doesn't shock me. A person that don't pay taxes is a person that probably is not going to pay your ass either. So it's no shocker.
Well, the leader of this country, he don't pay taxes.
Well, yeah. It just hurts my heart. It just hurts my heart when I hear leader of the country. I literally cannot hear this man's name, and I think my blood just starts to boil. I just dislike him so much. It's crazy.
And then Bryce. So Trina Bryce, which is my favorite Bryce, and Miss Lisa's least favorite. She is engaged.
That's right.
Yes. Congratulations, Trina. To Von Scale. He's the owner of a pain facility in St.
Man.
Louis.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. I'm kind of surprised for her. Yes, she's come home.
She's come home, baby. She has come
I love
home.
It. Yeah. I was shocked to see that he was black, but yeah, I'm happy for her. I was sad to hear about Gabe dying and that whole situation.
Yeah, that was
shocking. But I say that she's my. And you're right. She is my least favorite Braxton, but I like her independence. Like, I think she's the only one that is trying to do something outside of the and doing her own little thing, like with her little, you know, restaurant and stuff. So I think that's a good look. She's a hustler. I like that.
I love her. And, well, okay, that's it for the brushes. So now, speaking of divorcing, okay, where are we going first?
Wendy.
Where are we going first? Okay. So, divorcing. Wendy Williams. So now, Wendy is, well, she was in a sober living home in the Bronx.
In Queens.
I thought it was the Bronx. My fault. In Queens.
Yes.
Nevertheless, it wasn't a very good neighborhood.
Nope.
But this is the one
that
they
she's familiar with because that's where she used to buy her crack. But, yeah, she's very familiar with the neighborhood. But go on.
Well, it's her and her husband. They own that particular facility.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really, Wendy, this is the best you can get people that's going through the struggle. Okay, all right. Okay, go on. Wow.
So, Wendy, oh, my God. Now, Wendy, and I love, y'all know Wendy is my sister. But she's been living at the sober house, whatever. Shortly after she checked out of the sober house, they found her drunk and discombobulated because her husband has just had a baby with his sad mama. Well, I'm sorry, with his woman, because to me, my opinion, Wendy is a sad woman.
Wendy's
a side. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Wendy don't know. But I don't think Wendy. See, this is my thing. I mean, I see Wendy on TV talking about everything is good at Hunterville, but Wendy don't mean all that.
Oh no, no.
Wendy don't mean all that. Wendy is.
Wendy don't mean
like,
any
Wendy's
of
embarrassed.
That. Yes, she is. Wendy is embarrassed, and rightfully so. Because she comes on the TV and she defends Kevin and, you know, let me take you, for you to understand why I love this man, let me take you back and flash in that big diamond that she paid for. No one gives a shit, Wendy. You know, no one, you're not going to humanize this dude to us. I mean, like, he's a piece of shit. He's treated you like a piece of shit. And he's not even trying to hide his shit. Like, point that, like, I believe she and Sharina are sister wives at this point. Like, they do a tag team. Girl, you got him Tuesday and Wednesday. I get it. And I got him on the weekend. Like, she's fucking, you know, what's that? SZA or something. You know, so I just, you know, I don't believe that she's a victim. I think Wendy is very cunning and very manipulative because she's manipulated her audience. First with trying to come clean with being in this sober home because I think she planted that story with the Daily Mail knowing that the Daily Mail was following her, so let them follow me to the sober house. They're going to do a story on it. I'll admit it and get ahead of their story kind of thing. But she's only putting out there what she wants us to know. So I just call bullshit on her whole breakdown and the tears and all of this. My thought, honestly, is that the marriage been over. I agree with your when we were talking privately one time, you said, you know, my thought is, and I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, they'll break up. They're going to divorce or they'll separate after Kev goes to college. And here we are. Kev is now, I think, approaching his second year in college now. Kelvin, which we found out is his true name and not Kevin. She calls him, I think, to try to throw off some of the background stuff. True name is Kelvin, as we found with the house, the deed, when he signed it. It was signed as Kelvin Hunter and not Kevin.
Right.
I just think that, you know, they have separated, and he's getting messy with not hiding the relationship with Sharina. So much so that I think, is the one that I think she's kind of stole some of our stories, because how would they have found out about the house in Jersey if it were not an insider? And I think that insider was Sharina. She's probably tired of playing the background. And I'm going to put some pressure on this old bitch to go ahead and sign this damn this divorce paperwork. I think Wendy is aware that her marriage is over. The sightings that we see with her and Kevin are just that, sightings that they put out there for the paparazzi to, you know, to pick up on. But at the end of the day, if anyone, being a true Wendy watcher, and I watch this for her every day, and you can see now, like, lately she's being very flirty with her male guest. She's made comments about, I'm going to use Sex in the City as an example. She was talking about the lady that wrote the book Sex in the City that became the hit HBO show Sex in the City, is coming out with a new spin on Sex in the City about women in their 50s and 60s having sex in the city. And so she kind of took that and said, yeah, that would be great, because women in their 50s doing it, and they're popping it, and they're this and that. And, you know, so she had a lot of zest when she said that. So I just, it just kind of, it's very different from a woman who's always pretended to be so happy and married. A second thing that kind of made me, a second thing that happened on her show that kind of made me feel that she is playing a game with us is Tasha. I forget Tasha's last name, but she plays on one of the shows on OWN for Tyler Perry shows. I think it's no longer out now, but she's like an acting coach. And
she's on Empire.
She's on Empire now. Okay. Well, she was on there, and she was just saying how, you know, she's in her, I think she's 45 or whatever, she was saying how she is loving being single at this age, and she can basically, you know, have sex with whomever she want to have sex with and kick them out the house. And Wendy was like, yeah,
exactly.
I know, right? And, you know, and kind of really engaged in a way that she would not have been in the past. So I just believe that the joke is on us for her and Kevin, or Kelvin. I think she's only embarrassed because there is a baby. And I think she's going to, she mentioned to TMZ when they called her out and asked her, you know, has she seen the baby and all this, and said that she was actually going to work on her book. So I think she's going to release everything at her own time, and she's building this up, the momentum, to sell another New York bestseller. That's my opinion. The marriage is over.
Okay. Well, I agree with you on that. Yes. Marriage is definitely over and done. And but I want her to, like, really just say that, you know, because the way you're always empowering women or trying to empower women, what are you saying? Tell them, you should leave him. You should do this. You did. Then take your own right and show these women that you're not just all talk and leave this motherfucker. But it's something
about him that
she can't let go of.
And that's whatever he has on her. Because she has allowed him, I think that he's kind of helped push her to the next level, but it was her talent that made that even an option. You know what I mean? I think that Wendy, if she wants to keep her audience, she's going to have to be honest and address it. To me, I think it's disingenuous that she sits her ass up there every week, every day, and talk about other people's business and laugh about their situation. And you're the biggest hot topic right now, and you won't even mention your shit. And you won't even talk about it. You won't even address it. Like, you want to kind of skirt through it. And the tea is, dude, the fucking shit is over. Either say something or stop talking about people's shit. Because you can't be a hot topic and refuse to talk about your shit but talk about everybody else's and be taken seriously. So I think sooner or later there's going to be some level of backlash. Because everybody, when you got page 6, Fox News, E, everybody's talking about this situation, and she's not. But I know she's going to try to use it to sell the book she's coming out with, but at the end of the day, she's going to string us along and use our viewership to keep coins coming into their pocket to take care of the new baby while she tries to bank on this brand new bestseller that she's penning.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that. But she really, yeah, but like you said, she does it to be honest and be straightforward because it will win more, you get more viewers with that. Not more viewers, but you'll have more respect. You get more respect with that.
Right.
Because you done told everybody their mama. You done told people when they on the ass Wednesday, oh, Grace, just leave. And they done a hell of a lot less than Kelvin, whatever his name is. Because in the beginning, because before we found out about Serena, we knew that he was fucking with trannies. The trans women, I forget, trans
right.
Director, I'm sorry.
Right.
Transsexual women. So now all of a sudden he has this woman. So I would say that he has this woman, that's his woman Serena, and he also has a fixation, an itch that neither one of them can scratch with the trans women. So Kevin is fucking everybody but with it.
Right.
Oh, that's why we got that man found a sexual, yeah. So he's
according to
like, Tasha okay.
Tenney, yeah. Who I'm saying, whoever this man is, what was it, Amwar or whoever he is, who sang happy birthday to Wendy on one of her earlier shows a few years
mm-hmm.
back, he's suing Kevin for sexual harassment.
Yeah, I got it.
Basically, yeah, Tasha K goes in all the details. She has the documents and everything. No, I don't think she has the documents on that, but she has the T on the docs. But, yeah, so the guy sued him. Kevin had been served with the paperwork, so that means that a judge saw it and thought it was valid enough to move forward with the suit. So, essentially, the guy wasn't being paid and was just being paid with peas. He wants more than that.
Of course, everybody wants money. You've been sexually harassed, everybody crying, oh, my God, they touched me 29 years ago. They touched me 50 years ago. I need $1 million to make my pain go away. What the fuck is that about?
Yeah, right. I know, right?
Right, everybody, now, cause just like now, this woman is saying that Joe Biden, I don't know what she wants, though, but Joe Biden kissed her the same way, the same thing that Omari Hardwick did to Beyonce. He did that to her in 2014 at a convention. Why are you just not telling me? He was vice president. That happened. Why are you going to say something then? So now that
right.
he's running for president, now you're going to tell me. See, it's about, I look at everything. It's about time, and then, and I want to put this out there. I'm not, because some people ask, like, you don't never believe any of the victims. Well, I do believe a real victim, because I know real victims who have been raped,
mm-hmm.
who have been molested, who have been assaulted. And them I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But for these chicks
mm-hmm.
to come up, I mean, like, Janice Dixon, I mean, I believe Janice Dixon, because she wrote in her book that Bill Cosby, she tried to come on to him, and then he rejected her. Now all of a sudden, he raped me, you start crying out rape. And no, I'm not going to believe you because I know that Janet Dixon is a coked-out whore who passes out her pussy like a 2-for-1 coupon at Popeye's Chicken. No, I don't believe her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
I agree with you there.
Right. That's my thing. But, and then, yeah, but I am going to watch the Michael Jackson story because you said it, but I'm not going to watch Oprah. And, speaking of that, so let's go here. Everybody was crying. Everybody was crying about lock up Bill Cosby, lock up R. Kelly. When's lock up Cardi B? This bitch said she has robbed and drugged men.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all was saying, y'all was hollering for Bill Cosby to be locked up because he drugged with. Which all we know is he bought some Quaaludes. I ain't never heard anybody say, I never heard him say he put some Quaaludes in the drink. He just bought some Quaaludes.
Well, yeah.
But
well,
she said that she drugged. She said she drugged him. And I mean, she didn't say how she did it, which I suspect what she did was, I'm not going to say it on the air. I'll say it in private. Because, yeah, I'm just going to say it. It's something, I'll say this. It's an everyday use. It's a thing that people can use every single day that you can really drug somebody with and knock them the fuck out and have your way and do whatever you want to do. And I bet you that's what she did. I'll tell you off the air. I ain't going to say it later. I bet you that's what she did.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the thing. I heard Tasha K with all of this stuff, and she's trying to get some momentum on the hashtag. Well, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere, simply because we know that Cardi B as a but I do think just based on some of the things that Cardi B has shared that, you know, her lines were a little blurred, okay? So I think that the situation here is those men came to, you know, paying for sex, and I think she drugged them to get out of not having to have sex with them and ran off with the money. So it gets a little, well, every stripper I've ever talked to, they've done that. So I think it's a stripper lifestyle. But, yeah, is there bias? Probably. Is it going to stop her from making money? Is the record companies going to come out and make a big deal about it? No, because, A, you know, even though Tasha claims she has a victim and this man is, gave an interview on her show, we don't know if that's true or not. But the difference between her and the Bill Cosby's and everyone else is that they had a whole slew of victims or people professing to be victims, and there was years and years and years of pounding the pavement to get people to listen before something ever happened. With Cardi B, yeah, she's a petite-ass girl, and we don't know what happened in those situations that, you know, it's a lot that could have taken place that she felt that, I mean, it's a grimy business, and I think it was a grimy situation, and her victims are still living, and you know, they're not abused in any way. I mean, it's just kind of hard for, I don't think nobody cares. I know I don't care. I was jamming her music today and will continue to. I think Cardi B is the best thing that's happened to rap. I know you don't necessarily agree.
Oh, my God. What the hell did you just say on my show? Oh, my God, what the hell?
I do. I mean, I get my life on money. I'm going to tell you something. When I listen to money and I close my eyes, I believe that I'm a fucking dancer and I'm empowered and, you know, everything. Yes. I mean, I don't know. It's like an alter ego that comes out. I love Cardi. Most women that I know love Cardi. I don't love all of her stuff, but I love, you know, quite a bit of it, enough to call myself a fan. And I don't care that, you know, that she may have done this. I don't. I think men are predators. They're predators first. And I think she was in a field that, you know, where men objectify women, and she did what she had to do to eat. And, you know, I think Bill and whomever else that may have drugged women did it to fuck. I don't think she did. She did it not to fuck. So, I mean, I'm not mad at her. She was trying to keep her body count down. So that's why I'm not upset.
Bitch, did you just... So wait. Now let's get it down. Had anyone said what you just said pertaining to the R. Kelly situation or Bill Cosby, maybe they would ring about, I lost friendship over the Bill Cosby situation.
But those are different. To me, those are different situations, though, for two very distinct reasons.
How is
Bill,
it different?
It's different because you're talking. She drugged people not to give them pussy. I mean, what's the difference? She didn't commit an act. She drugged them to not commit an act. I'm not mad with her about that. And I mean, men rule. She didn't rob them. Rob them means that they paid her to have sex. She drugged them not to have sex. She took the money they gave
and
her and ran off. Right. She already had the money, I'm assuming. I don't know if it's
robbing
in the way that we're thinking about it. It's not going to be a thing, Eric. Kyrie, listen. It's not going to be a thing, Kyrie, because it is not the same. And you cannot make them the same. If we believe, and obviously a court of law did believe, that Bill used drugs to force himself on men, on women who did not otherwise choose to have sex with him. That is fucking rape. R. Kelly is, you know, being accused of having sex with underage girls. Totally different things, not the same thing. We're in this age of what-if-ism, and it's not the same thing. The same thing, to me, wasn't bad. What, you know, the fact that she had to live the life of a stripper / prostitute, and she did what she had to do to eat. These men came to have sex with a woman, and she chose not to have sex with them by drugging them and taking the money they gave to her to either perform a blowjob or sex or whatever the hell it was they want her to do, and she said no. So it's not going to end her career. People have told Tasha K this. That's why she's also being sued by Cardi. And we don't know if Cardi was telling the truth when Cardi said this. This could have been something she was saying just to make, you know, to do what she do. I think it's all things. It's not going to go nowhere. And Tasha K's story and her trending bullshit on Cardi B is not going to go anywhere. She's the hottest thing out right now. She's making too many people money. And sit your black ass down, Tasha K. That's where you lose me. I think it's wrong.
Well, why do you
I
say?
Think it's wrong all day.
Because McCarty is always fucking with Tasha K. Now, you know, I'm seeing Tasha K all day.
I think they're fucking with each other. I think they're fucking with each other. And I think Tasha started the fucking with first. But she's searching and she's reaching for stuff. I think Tasha would be better served with trying to help the supposed victims of R. Kelly or not, or calling out everybody. I think this whole thing with the R. Kelly situation is, Dion Cole said it best from Black-ish, you know, it's a dirty game. R. Kelly was dirty. The people he was fucking with were dirty. And so it's hard to tell who was the dirtiest when you try to unravel this very, you know, disgusting situation that is surviving R. Kelly. But when this comes to Cardi B, I think it's bullshit. I think it's based out of hate. And I think Tasha K should back up. It's not going to change. You've had a lot of women that have had to fight men off from, you know, wanting to have sex with them. No one's angry about that. In fact, like I said, am I pissed that Cardi B drugged some old fart that she didn't want to have sex with but needed his money to help pay her rent? Hell no, I'm not upset about that. I'm not upset about that, and it's not the same thing as going on telling. I promise it's not. It was a single woman trying to survive in a fucking man-ruled situation with this whole stripping business that is really up and near for prostitution for the most part.
Okay, well, but she chose that. She chose the strip.
Well, we're not talking about the choice. We're talking about the fact that she was in the industry and she, for whatever reason, that was her hustle. Okay, and she tried to get out of having sex with people that wanted to pay her for sex. And that's really what this is coming down to. Men that paid her to have sex, which is illegal outside of Nevada, as far as I know, and she chose to drug them. So if there is no real victim in this. There's no real victim. They were both meeting up to break the law with prostitution, in my opinion. And that's what's not being said. So it's not like she went out, sought out people, I'm going to drug him and rob him. No. They were, and I guarantee this, she was in a situation where a man propositioned her for sex. She said yes, knowing that she was going to try to drug them if she could to not have sex and get his money. So if we're going to tell the truth, then we need to bring the John, because that's what they were, and tell the truth. Well, otherwise, I don't give a shit, and most of her fans won't care, because everybody know what she was doing. She was a stripper selling the illusion of great sex, twerking, popping, locking, and someone wanted that imagery in their bedroom, thinking that they were going to get it and having sex with her. And no, all they did was go to sleep and wake up with no money. It's all fair game.
Okay. And so, wow, so you said fair. So for these men to be robbed is fair game. See, I disagree with that. Because you robbed them.
It was, they were both breaking the law. Prostitution is against the law. So, yes, when he propositioned her to have sex and she decided, well, I'm going to rob you, it's two damn crimes. He went there to commit a crime and she beat him with another crime. It's game. It's part of the industry. The thing is they were both of age and she didn't go and force herself on anyone. So I don't think it's fair to compare her to Bill, who's accused of fucking raping people after he drugged them. And R. Kelly, who's accused of fucking little girls. So two different things, two grown people that came together, and she was hustling. And so, yeah, she tried to get out of not having sex and take the money. Not the best choice, but is it something to for her to try to trash this girl and make her, and even if she confessed it, so fucking what, Tasha K? So fucking what? So what? I mean, no. Anybody, everyone that's ever, from Jocelyn, from Love and Hip Hop, Tasha, the lady that, you know, is now, who has her acting studio that's on Empire, nobody was a stripper because that was their best option in life. Pretty much, that's your last option. And you have a body that can, you know, sell sex, the illusion of it, to men. So it's not where a woman wants to be. So to hear that a woman had to do what she had to do to not have sex with someone and still eat, I'm not going to shame her for that. So, yeah, I get it.
I don't believe men had a choice for trying to buy ass
and having their $40
but
taken
she had
because
a choice
they wanted head from Cardi B.
But she had a choice.
Well, they all made choices. They all had choices. And I don't think this is the same as the R. Kelly and Bill Cosby thing. I think it was a prostitute who found a way to not prostitute.
Okay. A prostitute finds a way to not prostitute by drugging men. But you should take the money. Now I want to say this to the men. I'm gonna say this to any man out there. If you get with a hooker, if you pay the hooker beforehand, you a fool. You never purchase anything before you get the product.
So that's why we know she was dealing with older men that didn't know how that worked. And not that I have any experience in it, but from what I've heard, you normally right. So she asked for her money up front. They were stupid enough to do it. And however they got in the situation for her to drug them, and who knows, maybe they brought the drugs, and maybe she did whatever she needed to do to get them high and not her. Either way, it was a dirty situation that was set up, and they came out not the winner. And so that's
the end of the day. But she knew what came with the territory of stripping. You know, if you want to make that
and
real
so
the
they know
gonna,
when it comes to the territory
hop
of tricking.
And hop on the
She knew what it was with the stripping, and they knew when they decided to enter into the tricking. And that's what it was, a tricking situation. So when you propositioned this woman and gave her money in hand, you knew that there was a possibility that you might not get all the way to home base. So I just think at the end of the day, two wrongs don't make her wrong any longer because she didn't decide to do it and whatever. So there's so many details that we don't know. She simply shared that. Tasha K is riding with it. Tasha lost me on that one. She lost a lot of the women in her winos. A lot of the winos didn't agree with her either. So whatever, Tasha. Find somebody else to bash. That's a woman trying to make her money. She's been able to transition it from being a whore / stripper to being one of the hottest rappers. Let her live and stop this.
Okay. Well, okay, wait, I have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Rapper, this just happened here in L.A. About an hour ago.
Oh, no.
Rapper Nipsey Hussle was shot 6 times, and he died. This just happened. 3 other people were shot, too. This violence has got to stop. It's got to stop. Somebody just sent me this text. They ain't even on the news yet. This violence has got to stop. It has to stop. This is crazy. This is crazy. And he did stuff for the hood. I mean, he owned and operated businesses. You know, he liked helping out the hood, but you got to come up out that hood mentality. That's what I'm saying.
You got to come out of the hood. You got to get out of the hood, and you got to drop the hood mentality. I've been screaming that for years. The hood will kill you. Okay. It will kill you.
It didn't kill me, but yeah.
Kyrie, if they can sniff out you got money, sniff out whatever, they will kill you. Tupac
right.
said that,
right.
So we know it's true. We know that's true.
Now you're right.
If Tupac
now
said
you're
it.
Right. Now you're right. You said it's Tupac said. But this is sad. This is just sad.
Yeah, that is sad. That is very sad.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I heard it here first. Nipsey Hussle was shot 6 times here in LA, and he did not make it. Yeah, he pronounced dead on something. They're saying, okay,
wow,
somebody,
that's horrible.
Now somebody just said that he's shot outside of his store. The stores are conflicting. Oh, Lord. He was pronounced dead at the hospital after being shot outside his clothes. So now another story is that he ain't dead. I don't know. Well, okay. Nipsey Hussle was shot 6 times, fact. If he's dead or alive, we'll find out.
That we know, and we hope that he survives. Right.
Yes, we hope that he is not dead. We hope that he makes it. Yes, we do. We do.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I know Ms. Lisa has to run. She is a busy woman. So, Ms. Lisa, thank you so much for the tea time. We're going to get through all the tea, because I wanted to touch on John Gray.
Oh, please. If we can do a part 2, that would be awesome. And also, I want to give you some homework. Watch Leaving Neverland, and let's talk about that again the next time we schedule something. And John Gray, because I do want to talk about that.
Got it. All right, watch Leaving Neverland. So that is it. So, Ms. Lisa, but we'll be back. Part 2 will probably be sometime in April. This is the end of March. So part 2 will be sometime next month. And Ms. Lisa, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for always coming on when I need you. Thank you so much. I love you for that. I love you.
Oh, God.
Well, you go and just enjoy the rest of your evening. kiss the keys for me, Oliver. I haven't met
him yet.
I'll meet him in July. And my Mr. Teagues.
Sure will. He's here right now, sitting on my lap. Okay.
Hey, Mr. Teagues.
Love you.
All right. Love you too. Talk to
all
you
right.
Soon. And everybody, thank you all for listening. I love you all for listening. Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.